And now, gambling terms. Push, a wager that results in a tie. Even money, bet with the same payout as you wager. Legit, knowing where it's truly legal to gamble in Colorado. You can enjoy legal gaming in Black Hawk, Central City, Cripple Creek, as well as licensed online sports and off-track betting in Colorado. Play legit and gamble only where it's legal. Learn more now at playlegitco.com. A message from the Colorado Division of Gaming. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Takes a shot. Here's Corey Davis, wide open. Davis. Still going, and he's in for the touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know that's
the Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And I wanted to take a look at the tape of Elijah Moore. I've been talking about how impressed I was when I went through his film. But I wanted to check with a bona fide expert on wide receivers and cornerbacks. And so I said last week when Mark Ross was on the show that he's rapidly becoming one of my favorite guests. Another person who's becoming one of my favorite guests in a very rapid fashion is Mr. Eric Crocker, former NFL and AFL defensive back and current trainer of athletes who are going to go on to become stars. I'm not 100% sure, but if Eric's training them, there's a pretty good chance that they're going to go on to become stars. So, Eric, thank you for coming back on the show to talk Elijah Moore. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, any time. And he's an intriguing guy, so it's good to, you know, be able to talk about him a little bit.
No question about it. And I think a big part of what makes him intriguing is the combination of skills that he brings to the table. And the first thing that jumped out to me when watching him was his change of direction. He reminded me a lot of prime Darren Williams when he was with the Utah Jazz with that crossover dribble where guys would just trip over their own 2 feet. When you watch Elijah Moore's change of direction, I don't see very many defensive backs that are going to be able to keep up with him. Sure, the elite of the elite, but man, that change of direction is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's tough, especially, you know, when it's a smaller guy like that and they have those, you know, just shorter legs and those quick feet and obviously like the speed that he possesses. You know, Jets watch Jeremy Curley, you know, a lot of his career. And this is like Jeremy Curley, but like with a rocket, like up his ASS. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just somebody, you know, that 4.3 speed that he possesses. And just, you know, when you have that kind of those shorter legs like that, like, you know, I mean, obviously he's just a smaller receiver in general, but it makes it really tough to match those movement skills, you know, when you are a longer cornerback, which most corners are definitely going to be bigger than him. So I think from that standpoint right away, he's going to be more of a mismatch in comparison to the you know, the guys that would be guarding him.
His change of direction is just part of his route running. And it's funny, Eric, because in lead up to the draft, what you saw in some scouting reports online was that Elijah Moore is an incomplete route runner. He's a work in progress. But that wasn't personally what I saw when I looked at his tape. I saw a pretty damn good route runner. Is that what you saw?
I think it is interesting. I think guys, and this is what I was alluding to when I was like, you know, he's an interesting, you know, intriguing prospect. When he wanted to use it, he did. Like, as far as his routes and stuff like that, like, I didn't think he was a raw route runner in the sense of, you know, like a DK Metcalf, right? Somebody that, like, okay, I'm going to really have to work on, you know, his routes and, like, just the way that he kind of sets things up. I think when you watch Elijah Moore, it's like, dude, you have all the ability, but it just seems like sometimes, and it's so hard to know if it's him or the offense. Because when I watch him during his pro day, it's like, whoa, now that's what I want to see on film during the games. And then when I watch, you know, I've seen some clips of him running routes for the New York Jets and how he puts his foot in the ground and how he's hitting his route with speed. And it's like, wow, like that's what I want to see. And I just thought, like, watching him at Ole Miss, you could see it at times, especially if he had like a defender that was off in space. But I thought more times than not, he didn't really use the ability to like let me like really try to be a pure separator, you know, with routes. It was more so let me, you know, beat guys with kind of, you know, speed down the field or just kind of run to spots. So I could see how they could get off on saying that maybe that was an area he needed to improve on. I don't think it's necessarily something he needs to learn how to do. I think he possesses it and showed that he can do it. I think just be more consistent with the speed in which he runs his routes at. And I think that would help it be a little more like, you know, pop off the film for, you know, maybe a scout or a talent evaluator.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Eric, let's talk a little bit more about speed, because speed can mean a lot of things. It could mean lateral quickness. It could mean straight line speed. What do you think about his overall package of speed and how he deploys it?
Yeah, so I kind of alluded to it a little bit, just saying like I didn't see him all the time play with speed. But the way I look at speed, I try to look at the players around, like the person that I'm watching, and see like how do they react to that player. And that kind of tells me how fast somebody is or how fast they play. And if you watch like Elijah Moore against Florida and how he was, you know, splitting defenses and then the panic that he put them in, like once he had the ball in his hand or when he caught that, it was like a kind of like an end around and he caught the ball and then how he beat the angles to the end zone. Like that shows me like true speed, because we've all seen the guys that, you know, maybe run, you know, 4.3s or 4.2 or whatever, right? But then when you watch him, it's like, man, you don't play with that type of speed. I think with him, you can definitely see it when you kind of look at the defenders and what type of angles that they have to take to try to get to him, and then how they prepare to tackle him. And it's like, oh, I hope he doesn't cut back. Like, so I think from that standpoint, I think he definitely plays with really good speed. I think when he sees that open area and he needs to, like, you know, kick it into another gear, I think he does that extremely well. I would just like, again, I would like to see him really use the threat of his speed to run routes more often. And I think he has that ability, but he doesn't do it consistently, at least not at Ole Miss. But again, the tough thing is, I don't know if he's being asked to do that. I don't know if they're telling him like, hey, just run to the spot, or hey, be patient and just run to the spot. Like if those are the things that they're telling him, then I could see why it might look the way it does to me on film.
His hands have also been cited as a major strength. And when you look at the statistics, you can see why. PFF had him catching 97% of catchable targets, which was number one in all of college football. When you watched the tape, did you see the reliable pass catcher that the stats bore out?
Yeah, so one thing for me, especially if you're going to be a smaller receiver, like, I mean, and just really any receiver in general, but definitely smaller guys, like, I need you to play big. And then that'll tell me like how much I'm going to prioritize you in like my receiver ranking. And I thought with him, I thought he did a really good job of kind of like, you know, going up for passes, like adjusting his body, kind of shielding off defenders in a sense, and really high pointing the ball with his hands and coming down with those type of catches. Like, that's great. You know, like those are things you want to see. Like, you know, I didn't see that from like Hollywood Brown. Like, there were too many times where Hollywood, not to put down other players, but with like a Hollywood Brown, there were too many times where I thought I'd see him go up and maybe hit the ground, ball pop out, you know, those type of things where I'm like, he plays a little small, and he is small. Well, with Elijah Moore, he looks tiny on film, but I thought when it came to kind of going up and attacking the ball and catching it with his hands and really just being able to, you know, run a route, catch it with all hands, and, you know, still keep his speed, and that kind of shows me that guy has a lot of confidence in his hands. I thought he checked those boxes for sure.
A lot of people have said that they think Elijah Moore projects to be predominantly a slot receiver in the NFL. But if you look at what he did his final year at Ole Miss, he was used on the outside a lot more, and he won quite a bit on the outside. Do you think in the NFL that he'll be able to win inside and out, or do you think that the earlier projections of him being mostly a slot receiver are what's going to end up taking shape?
You know, I was listening to a 49er press conference with Kyle Shanahan, and someone had asked him, like, you know, what do you look for, you know, with, you know, a receiver that's able, you know, able to play outside? And his biggest thing was like, can they win vertically outside? Like, if you can win vertically outside, then you can play outside receiver for him. There's some guys that really can't, right? Like a Trent Taylor that the 49ers had in the slot, or, you know, Wes Welker, right? Like, those are guys you're not really going to put on the outside, right? Like, you're going to play them more in the inside. So with Elijah Moore, I think he definitely has the ability to win vertically on the outside. I think with him, it's going to be more so about, you know, how do the Jets want to utilize him? And I know, you know, we'll get into that, but 49ers, they run a ton of tight splits. And if he can just be a guy that, you know, lines up in that tight split and is able to, like, you know, win off the line and maybe be able to play through contact, from that standpoint, he definitely is a guy that can play, you know, on the outside as well. I think that's a big part of it, being able to play through contact when maybe you don't get as clean of a release. And, you know, he is a smaller guy. So a lot of times with the smaller guy, especially when they're on the outside, they kind of shrink the target area. So your quarterback has to be more accurate. So I think from that standpoint, you know, with Zach Wilson, that quarterback, he's just going to, you know, if you're going to play Elijah Moore more on the outside and throw the ball, you know, down the field to him, you're just going to have to be really accurate, because if there is a contested catch situation and, you know, the corner is 6'1" and Elijah Moore is, you know, 5'8", you know, it's there's you don't have much room for error.
Do you see him as somebody that will probably run a lot of trickery and some jet sweeps and things like that at the NFL level?
Definitely. I think that's, you know, where the game is kind of going, where if you have a guy that has that type of ability, you want to utilize them as such, right? Now, that doesn't mean that has to be, you know, all he does. I think he's a terrific receiver as well. But, you know, if you can, I mean, look at Tariq Hill. They do all those things with him, right? Like the end arounds, the jet sweeps, the shovel passes, you know, just little things to kind of get the ball in his hands in space and maybe get a couple of blockers in front of him and, hey, go get 10 yards, go get 12 yards. I could definitely see them doing that with Elijah Moore. You know, 49ers do that a ton with Deebo Samuel, who's, you know, I mean, this is a jumbo size, you know, version of this. But I don't think that position, like, I don't think you have to be, or I don't want to say that position, but, you know, if they use him in that way, you don't have to be a certain size. You don't have to be 5'11", 215 like Deebo Samuel. You just have to be, hey, can you hit the crease? And can you read your blocking very well? And can you get around the corner and then use your speed to get down the sideline? I think if you could do those things, I believe that LaFleur will figure out different ways just to get the ball in his hands in general, because I've seen the 49ers do that with several receivers as well.
How do you think he compares to some of the receivers that went in the same general range that he did? Obviously, some of them are very different, but guys like Rashad Bateman and Kadarius Toney, Rondale Moore, Terrace Marshall Jr., what do you think? Did the Jets get the best of that bunch?
I think, you know, they are all in that tier. I try to look at it as like, not so much that, you know, a team is wrong or whatever, but just what are your plans for the guy? And I think that's the biggest thing. Like, even with the Giants, I'm curious to see what the Giants' plans are for Kadarius Toney because of the receivers that they already have, right? I mean, they have they just got Galladay. They just got, or they've had Slayton. They got, you know, Sterling Shepard. You know, they have Ingram. So it's like, okay, how are you going to use Toney? So I think when you look at it with Elijah Moore or any of these other guys, whether it's Rashad Bateman, how do you plan on utilizing this guy? And does he fit with whatever plan and vision you have? And if he can do that, then, yeah, you're going to be fine. Here's the curious thing. Here's the thing I'm most curious to see with them. 49ers, and, again, there are different ways to run this Kyle Shanahan scheme. We've seen the McVay way where he runs three receiver sets all the time, right? He lines up in the 11 personnel. That's his primary offensive package. Well, Kyle Shanahan, and kind of like what the Vikings have done and some of these other teams, they use more two receiver sets, right? More 21 personnel. Now, if you use 21 personnel, are you going to have, you know, Elijah Moore on the field, or is he going to be off the field? Like, is Mims and Davis going to be those guys? And then they figure out different ways to kind of sprinkle in more, or is Moore going to, you know, take some reps away from one of those guys? That's the part that I'm not sure yet. How do they plan on utilizing them? Obviously, he will be on the field. You don't take a guy like that, you know, high in the second round and not have a legit plan to really use him and deploy him. But I think that's the part that I'm really curious to see. What offense do they go to? Do they go to the more the McVay version of Shanahan or what we've seen from Kyle Shanahan, which is more 21 personnel?
Let's flesh that out a little bit more, Eric. Talk a little bit about what Jets fans can expect in each of those two scenarios from Elijah Moore and which one you think is more likely given his skill set.
So probably what the Rams do more with the 11 personnel. And again, like you can, it's really the same offense, but just a different kind of way of running it, I guess, for as far as personnel, like where the Rams use more like Cooper Kupp in blocking game and stuff like that, where the 49ers have, you know, a fullback out there with Kyle Juszczyk, and he's kind of their wild card type player. You know, they can do this with Elijah Moore for sure. And I've seen even the Rams do a lot of the end arounds with Robert Woods and kind of doing things to get the ball in his hands in space runs. There was one drive where they scored on the 49ers. I want to say maybe it was it 2019? Yeah, because they didn't beat the Niners. They haven't beat the Niners the last 2 years. Well, it was 2019, I believe, where the first drive of the game, they didn't even throw the ball. They ran the ball the whole time, and they were like a couple of times it was Robert Woods getting the ball, and he ended up scoring on the end around. Like, those are definitely things that you can do to get the ball in the hands of Elijah Moore. I could see them doing that. The 49ers have a similar player as Elijah Moore. His name is Richie James, and obviously like, he's not the same type of the caliber of prospect, and he's not as fast or, you know, but he's a smaller, like thin-built guy. And even him, like, they do different things to utilize him to get the ball in his hands in space. There was one game this year where the 49ers, all the receivers were out with COVID. Like, their top three guys, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and Kendrick Bourne, they were all out because of COVID. So they had to play Richie James more. And in that game, Richie James had, like, 9 catches for 180 yards and a touchdown. And a lot of it was just finding – different ways to get the ball in his hands or get him out in space, get him open in space downfield in between, you know, 10 to 20 yard range. I mean, you watch that game. I think you could, and if you go back and watch that game, it was middle of year against Green Bay. I think you could clearly see like, wow, I could see how Elijah Moore can do exactly what Richie James did in this game. And you could see a clear fit in that way.
Eric, you've watched quite a bit of Zach Wilson, and now you've watched quite a bit of Elijah Moore. They're already starting to forge a bond. They've talked about how they speak on the phone every day. They were spotted having dinner together at Luigi's. You like to see that because early on, they're building a bond, and they're trying to develop chemistry before they even get to training camp. They started in mini camp, and even before that, how excited on a scale of 1 to 10 should Jets fans be to watch this combination on the field?
I think very excited. You know that the your quarterback, he's someone, and I know I've heard these comps thrown out there. You know, the Aaron Rodgers, the Patrick Mahomes, but he kind of plays with that looseness. And having a quarterback that plays with that looseness, like, kind of allows guys to kind of create and extend plays. And a lot of times, like, when you play like that, those plays that might have been a, you know, 8-10 yard gain, when the guy starts working open, it can turn into a 30-yard or 40-yard gain, you know, and they throw down the field. And I can definitely see something like that happening. You start working there. I think everybody thinks, like, when a receiver and quarterback gets on the same page, it's, oh, okay, he just knows when to hit him out of his break, right? You know, or he knows, you know, 3-step slant, you know, this is how he's going to attack the cornerback, and then, okay, I could just throw the ball right here. I know my guy's going to be there, right? Like, you start to know each other. But the other part of it is, like, during, like, a scramble drill, and that, too, being on the same page as your quarterback, knowing when your quarterback starts to move, and by time, he knows exactly what you're going to do, and you take off, and he's looking for you, and he throws it into an area where he expects you to be, because those are the things that you guys have kind of worked on and talked about as well. So, you know, when you start thinking about just even that, like, the being able to extend plays, and something that Zach Wilson definitely excelled at, you know, at BYU last year, that's an area where I think even more so than everything else that, you know, the timing and rhythm and everything, like the offense, I think that's going to flow very well. But the being able to extend plays and get the ball into this young receiver's hands in space. I think that's something that you guys should be really excited to kind of see. The one thing I am kind of interested in, because I've always talked about, like, well, they got Mims, they got Davis. And so I forgot about Crowder, and is like, how does he factor into this whole thing? I know I think I saw somewhere he has like $11 million, like, kind of cap hit or something this year, or like that's how much money he's going to be making. So maybe he can be like a cap casualty. And if Elijah Moore, if you're seeing something that you like from Moore, maybe, you know, it's like, all right, we don't need to pay Crowder $11 million this year. And, you know, we have Mims and we have Davis, and now we have Elijah Moore. But we'll see what happens with that. But that too, that's intriguing, because now, I mean, we're talking about four receivers in an offense that, at least with the way Kyle Shanahan runs it, they don't use a whole lot of receivers in that way. And the touches could definitely be a little limited, you know, and I'm not sure. I'll see who's the odd man out. But if you have a Crowder on your roster week one and he's making $11 million, I'd assume he's going to be on the field as well. So that's something that I haven't really thought a whole lot about that can be very interesting as far as how the whole thing plays out for the Jets offense.
Do you think Crowder and Moore can play together and both be effective? Or is it a situation where if one's on the field, you're kind of doing yourself a disservice to have them both on the field at the same time in this offense?
I mean, I think there's definitely times when you can have them both on the field, but I mean, typically receivers, I mean, nor offenses, they have just kind of set kind of positions, right? Like you have your X, you have your Z, you have your Y or whatever. And I know like that can be interchangeable, but I don't know if you have two positions that are similar on the field at the same time, in the sense of that slot type receiver and what that is. Like, I know I've heard Kyle Shanahan say, I think he calls it the Y or whatever, but that Y could be anybody. Like, it could be, Brandon, it could be Kendrick Bourne. It could be Kyle Juszczyk. It could be, it could be George Kittle. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if you have two of that same thing on the field at the same time. That's something I feel like when I'm watching the 49ers, they don't typically have two slot type guys on the field at the same time. Like, now they do have guys that are all versatile, right? But you kind of have your base with Ayuk and Debo. Those are your like X and Z. And then if you end up having a slot, like maybe one of those guys can line up in the slot and you do things like that. But typically, as far as like a pure slot guy, if that's what Crowder is, I haven't seen the 49ers line up two of them on the field at the same time.
Eric, we talked before about how Elijah Moore and Zach Wilson are trying to build chemistry. What is that process generally like? And what's the process usually like with the other receivers there? All of them trying to build chemistry with each other to form a complete wide receiver room.
I really think like communication is key with that whole thing, and really just reps. Like, you know, you see a lot of guys, you know, when I was with the Jets, when we went home before, like, you know, to get ready for training camp or whatever, Mark Sanchez did Jets West, and, you know, all the guys would go down to LA, and they'd be in LA and they'd work on those things and work on talking through things, routes, the chemistry, all those type of things. Like, I think it's going to take things like that to really kind of get on the same page as all your receivers and get them to understand what exactly it is that you want. I really think it's more so the receivers getting on the same page with the quarterback. The quarterback would tell them what they want. We see with Tom Brady, right? Like, you know, every offseason, you know, they were getting in trouble with, you know, breaking COVID protocols last year because Tom Brady was going to make sure that his receivers understood exactly what he's looking for in the offense and how, you know, how he wants things ran and what he's expecting and understanding, hey, if the defender is like this, then, okay, I'm going to put the ball on his back shoulder. So that's where you can expect the ball to be, and just really kind of getting those reps and what that looks like and that conversation. I think that's a big thing. So I don't think it's going to be more so of just like, oh, like, let me get on the same page as this rookie. I think it's having all your receivers together and really just getting reps and reps and reps, whether, you know, for an extended period of time. It could be, you know, 4 days over the summer where the quarterback has all his receivers together and they're just really constantly, you know, repping the offense and, you know, talking about the verbiage and what things look like and what to expect. And I think that's how you typically get on the same page with your receivers.
Along those lines, how important is training camp going to be?
training camp is going to be huge, because especially for rookies, like a day, a training camp day for rookies, like it's not like what it used to be where you had like, you know, the 3-hour practices and 2-a-days. Like it's not like a grueling training camp like it was back in the day, but it's, you have your, especially as a rookie, like you will wake up and you have weights. As far as the Jets, this is how we were kind of set up. We have weights early, like 5:45 a.m. I have weights. After weights, go get breakfast. After breakfast, go to meetings. After meetings, go to practice, right? You have to go get ready, get taped up, all that stuff, go to practice. After practice, you like have like more meetings, and then you eat, and then you have like more meetings. And then you have like another thing that's just like rookies. Like it was crazy. Like you would start at about 5:45 a.m. To go lift, and then you'd be done by like 9 p.m. And then once you're done with all that, you have to study, like, you know, all your plays and everything, and really kind of work to get that down. So as a rookie, is I think just kind of understanding the grind and the mental part of it, and the best thing you can do is just to not like get overwhelmed. So I think that's, as far as the rookies go, it's how do I not get overwhelmed? How do I prepare the best way to where, you know, I'm still able to, I'm not getting in my own head, because you start to kind of get a lot thrown at you. You have walkthroughs and all these different things, and you want to make sure that you know, and they're trying to, that's at the time where they're really starting to kind of load up to get ready for the year, to get ready for, you know, the preseason games. And then obviously in the games, they start to throw, you know, game weeks, they start throwing more at you. So training camp, it's a big time for a lot of these young guys, because yeah, they start throwing a whole lot more at you, and it's at a different, it's more up-tempo pace. And you have to be able to, you know, take in all that information and still play without thinking. And that's why, you know, the veterans, like, they have it down. They understand what they're getting into, and they'll know those things like the back of their hands. It won't be a big deal for them. But some of the rookies, sometimes it starts to move a little bit fast for them, and you really want the game to slow down.
If the game slows down, then the play speeds up. I think that's pretty much how it goes.
100%. 100%. Like, it... That's when, like, you can see the most athletic person, but if he's thinking a whole lot on the field, the game is moving too fast, he's going to look like he doesn't really know exactly what he's doing. He'll be lost. He won't be able to, you know, certain checks and stuff like that. You'll start to see the blown assignments, and that's where, like, those problems have. And then, I mean, before you know it, you're either not playing or you're cut, or, you know, so those things happen. So definitely that was a good one that you just said.
Every once in a while, Eric, I have a gem, usually about once a month. So now I'm screwed until June. You got my best line for the next couple of weeks. So savor that and remember it. I gave you the tier system, so now I gave you that one too. You get all my best lines, Eric. I got to keep bringing you on so that I can keep fleshing these out. Eric Crocker, who has become one of my favorite guests to come on and talk about wide receivers and defensive backs. He trains athletes, does YouTube breakdowns. He has a Patreon. I'm pretty sure he does a lot of other things too. Aren't you a coal miner or something like that? You got so many things going on. I don't know how you do anything. I don't know how you have time for anything. I think the trick is, Eric, you don't sleep much, right? So for anybody that wants to check out everything you're doing except sleeping, because you don't do any of that, where can they find you? Where can they check out everything that you have going on?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at @Eric_Crocker. I'm definitely getting the YouTube up and going. I really started kind of getting that going over the last few weeks, and it's growing pretty fast. And now that the draft's over, you know, I'm kind of shifting my attention on the content that I'm putting out. So make sure you guys subscribe. That's Croc Talk TV. The Patreon account, where I do more film breakdowns and breaking down a lot of prospects and things like that. I'll be doing matchups of the week and things like that during the NFL season. That's patreon.com/CrocTalk. And then CrocReport.com. That's the website. So yeah, all that.
CrocReport.com is where you can find everything, and Croc Talk is the YouTube channel. Check it out. Fantastic stuff over there. And we got fantastic stuff over at playlikeajet.com as well. We have a brand new article from Steve Ballew. It's great. It's taking down all the people in the analytics community who have been giving Joe Douglas crap for trading up from 23 to 14 to get Elijah Vera Tucker. A lot of us have said that those people are getting a little too much inside their own heads. And so Steve breaks that down and explains why Joe Douglas making that move was actually a very good idea. Plenty of cool stuff up on the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel as well. A brand new All-22 breakdown of the Zach Wilson performance against Utah in 2019. If you recall, Utah was the number 11 team in the nation that year. So a really good defense that Zach Wilson went up against. Luke takes you through that game and shows you the strengths and the weaknesses of Wilson from that day. So if you haven't subscribed to that yet, please go ahead and do that. And if you haven't given us a five-star review on iTunes yet, please go ahead and do that as well. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.